How are you guys? You ready for the week? Oh, me too, you guys. Let's do it. If you got your Bibles, turn to Job chapter 1. That's where we're going to begin at. Job chapter 1, you guys. You guys saw the theme here? It says Mayday. And it really is a theme about Job. You're going to see that in the dramas that they do, everything they're going to be doing here. And have any of you guys ever read the book of Job? Have you? It's a tough one to read, man. That's pretty tough. Some people say that it's the oldest book that's actually in the Bible. It's not in the beginning, like where Genesis is, but there are most people that would say that Job was actually the first book that was written, and it's an incredible book that makes us have to rethink about suffering, about things that go in our lives. But before we get into that, you guys. I hope that I can just hang out with you guys during the week, and as we do hang out, you'll see me maybe walking around during free time or something. Seriously, come up and say hi. You can go ahead and buy me a milkshake if you want to. You can ask me to buy you a milkshake. You can ask me that. I'm not saying what the answer will be, but you can ask me. So you can do that, but I want to just hang out, honestly. Guys, I want to try to come by maybe your cabins at night and just say good night to you guys. And everybody, I just want to be able to see you guys throughout the week. So anything you want to talk about, we can do. But I also thought, just to introduce myself tonight, just to let you get to know who I am. You guys have heard the expression, a picture's worth 1,000 words? So instead of giving you 1,000 words about myself, I thought I would just show you a picture of myself. So, Jared, if you got that, go ahead and show it up there. And this is me. In 8th grade. And so I thought I would just show you a picture of myself in junior high. And that's me. And I want you to ask me a question about myself if you'd like to. And I'll even take 4 questions. There's 4 sections here. I'll take 4 questions. And you can ask me anything you want about myself, and I'll just answer those questions for you. Now, there's 2 rules. One is that there might be, I don't know if this is going to happen, but you might ask a question that might not be the best to answer out here. It might be like, hey, that's a good question, but we'll just talk one-on-one. That could happen. I will try to answer the questions as much as I can, but that possibly could happen. But the second rule is actually even more important, and that is you can ask me any question about myself as long as it's a question when I was this guy. In other words, you're starting your question with when you were in junior high. So if you ask me, hey, PJ, are you married? I'm going to say, no, I was not married when I was in junior high. Okay, so everything is about when I was in 8th grade, junior high. And did somebody raise their hand over here already? So I'm going to take 1 question from this section. I'll take 1 question from this section, 1 from this one, and 1 from that one. So, what is your question, sir? When I was in junior high, what was my favorite sports team? Wow, that's actually an easy one for me to answer. I see you have a Giants hat on, and that's not my answer. But because baseball wouldn't have been my answer, he said sports team, so I got to pick the sport too, right? Yeah. So my sport would have been football. And at least my favorite team. And my favorite team was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Are you a Buccaneer fan? Yes. Or is it because you're a Tom Brady fan? Okay, that does not count. That does not count. So you are a Tom Brady fan, not a Buccaneer fan. I'm just saying. Because if you were a Buccaneer fan, you were a Buccaneer fan way before Tom Brady became a Buccaneer. As I was, I became a Buccaneer fan when the Buccaneers, this is going to really say how old I am, when the Buccaneers became a team. And so I liked them at the time because they had on their helmet this picture of this like pirate guy, this Buccaneer, that had a knife in his mouth. He was holding a knife in his mouth. And I thought, as when I was in 7th grade, I thought, wow, you know what? First of all, nobody was a Buccaneer fan. They did not even win a game their first 2 seasons. They were like losers. I mean, big-time losers. Kind of like the Raiders are right now. So anyway, so, but that's just what they were. And so So I was like, first of all, I wanted to be so different than anybody else. I did not want to pick a team that everybody else had. And everybody else at the time were either, they were either Steeler fans, Dallas fans, or Raider fans. That's what they were at that time. And so I was like, I'm not going to be any of those, you know, fans of those, especially the Dallas Cowboys, because they claim to be America's team. And that just really, really got to me. I was like, wait, there's more than one team in America than one. So you guys are wrong. So then I went, hey, nobody's a Buccaneer fan. Nobody. And I was in California, and I was like, nobody's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan here. So I was like, I'm going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan. And their color was orange, and my favorite color was orange. And there was the guy that was biting a knife on the helmet. I thought that was pretty cool. So there you go. That's why I chose the Buccaneers. And once I choose a team, I stick with them. So there you go. From this, okay, you respect that? You respect that? Okay, so in this section, I don't know who to choose. I don't know who to choose. So is that a Dodger hat? Yeah, I'm not gonna choose that. Let's see. No, go ahead. No, Dodger fan, go ahead. Wait. No, not high school. What was my favorite class in junior high? I would have to say math. Easy, hands down, math. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about when you say class, about school for me. I was one of those students that maybe some of you are going to go, I totally relate to you. I had to get A's. If I got an A-, I felt like it was a failure. Like, grades was my identity. That was my identity, you guys, which is not necessarily a good thing. That's not a good thing. That it was my identity, like that was it. But I remember if I got an A-, that minus like stood out, and I was like, I don't want that. So I would always try to get A's, but math was really my subject because English was not. Usually if you're math, you don't like English, usually English, you don't like math. But because English always made these rules and then made exceptions for the rules, and that drove me crazy. You know, you got the, you know, I before E. Okay, except after C. All right, and except sounding like A in neighboring way, yeah, and then you have the word neither. So I did not like English at all, but math was always like, this is always the rule, this is always the truth. So that's it. So that's why I liked math. That was my favorite. So, boy, from this one, I don't know who to pick. You look like a nice person right there. You're okay, then somebody. Okay, go ahead. You got a question? We got a question? Go ahead. What? When I was in junior high, what? Did you even have a question, or did you just want to raise your hand? Because you're not a nice person? Did I get held back? No, I never, ever got held back. I told you I went for A's all the time. Did you just hear that? Oh, yeah. No, that didn't happen. No. You know what? Okay, wait. Here. What was my favorite thing to do in junior high? Okay, so now you're really going to get who I am. It was being in the library with my friends playing Dungeons & Dragons. That was my favorite thing to do. I was the nerdy. Again, straight A kind of kid, nerdy, not socially involved. I mean, I was not popular, nothing like that. I did like sports. I really liked sports. That was probably maybe the exception. But I did not like do sports for the school or anything else. I just played, you know, with people afterwards. I loved doing that stuff after school. But being playing Dungeons & Dragons was the big thing for me to do. And I was a dungeon master, so that was great. So anyway. So, Job, you guys, so you got to know me a little bit. Now I hope to get to know you a little bit over the week. But most of all, I hope we get to know God a little bit more and maybe your faith that you have in God. Because Job is a challenge. Honestly, when you read the book of Job, you're going to be challenged in your faith. If you haven't read the book of Job, we're going to just look a little bit at it in the first chapter to see kind of what Job is really all about. And then I'm going to cruise through what kind of happens in the rest of the book, and how it wraps up there. But what can we learn with the book of Job? Job is a guy, if you read the first few verses, he was actually the richest guy in that known part of the world. I mean, he was really rich. He was blessed by God. If you see, it says in verse 2 of Job chapter 1, it says, there was born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 10 kids. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, very many servants. So this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. He was the most popular. He was the most well-known. He was the richest guy that was there. And it also says he was a righteous guy. He was a guy that was dedicated to God. He would not only be concerned about him, his own sin, whenever he committed sin, he was concerned about his kids' sin, if they ever even committed sin. And he would try to take responsibility even for other people's sin. I mean, that's how much he just wanted to follow God and wanted other people to follow God and his family. And then suddenly in verse 6, something happens that you don't see anywhere else in the Bible. But it's an incredible thing that happens. Look what it says in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. The sons of God is a very ancient way of saying angels. So it was these angels that came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Now Satan was a fallen angel. Satan was created by God. He actually decided one day, Satan became jealous of God, wanted God's throne himself, rebelled against God. This is so ancient. And then that's when he became Satan. He became a fallen angel, and he took one-third of the angels, it looks like in the Bible, that he took one-third of the other angels with him. They joined him, and other people, they're the angels that became demons. That's what it looks like that happened in the Bible. So all these angels are coming before God, and now Satan is there as well before God. And in verse 7, it says, the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. So Satan is going, I'm just wandering around the earth, looking around in the earth. I'm doing things in the earth. And Satan is actually still working right now with evil plans. But he spiritually, he is around somewhere, you know, trying to influence people and carry out a plan that he has for evil and for people to sin. That's what Satan is doing. So he goes, I was going around all the earth and stuff, and then the Lord said to Satan, look at verse 8, have you considered my servant Job? Have you checked out Job? He goes, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Have you checked out Job and seen what a righteous person, how much he is dedicated, how much he trusts me, and he's blameless? He fears me, he trusts me, he loves me, he doesn't want to ever do evil. Have you checked him out? And then in verse 9 it says this, and Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? There's a really big reason why, God, that Job fears you and follows you. You know why it is? Because you gave him all these blessings, and you gave him all this money, and you gave him all these crops, and you gave him all these animals, and you gave him, you know, 7 sons and 3 daughters. He has a great family. He has a great life. Nothing bad ever happened. Of course he loves you. Does that make sense? That just makes sense to me. Well, because some people, I'll follow God if God gives me everything I want, everything I need. But Satan's saying, that's why he's following you. And he says in verse 10, I'll just say it in his words, have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you in your face. But God, okay, God, I'm telling you, this is what Satan says. I'm telling you, he's following you because you've given him all this stuff. But if you take it away, if you make things go bad in his life, he will reject you. He will. You put a hedge around him, and so there's this hedge around Job, almost like a force field around Job, that Satan can't do anything to him. God put this force field around him, so Satan can't do anything. So he says, hey, well, I can't even touch him. I can't even do something to him. But if you did something bad to him, he would take he would just curse you and walk away from you. And then it says in this, look at verse 12. Look what God does. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. I'm lowering the force field. All of it's in your hands. Only against him you do not stretch out your hand. In other words, you can't kill him. You can't touch his body. You can't do anything to him, actually, but you can do anything to all of his possessions and everybody else. Or you can do anything you want to all of them. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And the rest of the chapter, it's crazy, guys. I'm just going to read it. It's unbelievable. Look what it says. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. All of his kids were all in the same house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans, these are just a group of people, fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. One servant got out of this thing, but all his oxen, all his cattle, all the stuff is now gone. While he was yet speaking, this servant was just telling Job, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young people and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. In that one day, he lost everything. His kids, all of his stuff, all of this cattle stuff, everything. There's like four servants that are left out of all these hundreds of servants that he had. That's it. And let's see if Satan was right. It says in verse 20, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. That's out of humility. And fell on the ground and cursed God. What does it say? And worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look, God gave me everything. It's not really mine anyway. None of this stuff is mine. My kids aren't even mine. None of my cattle are mine. It's all God's anyway. He's the one who gave it to me. So he's the one who has the right to take it away. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Job doesn't even know why this stuff is happening. Did you know that? We know, right? We know why it's happening. Satan dared God. And God said, okay, go ahead. Did Job do anything wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. This is all something between God and Satan. And Job, he loses everything. We know why. Job doesn't even know why. And he says, I'm going to worship God. Would you? I mean, would you? Because there's got to be some of us, we're following God because of what we have. Well, he's given me this, as long as he has given me this, as long as I have all this, whatever it is, then I'm going to follow him. But what if you lost it all? What if you just lost it all and God doesn't say anything to you? You don't know why. It's just all gone. And Job kneels down and worships God, saying, well, it's all his anyway. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, that's incredible. How does somebody do that? I want to give you guys, this week, we're going to look at you guys. This is going to be a tough week, but I think a really good week. A really good week, but it's going to be tough because we're going to talk about some deep stuff. About why did bad things happen? Right now, I know that there's some of us right here, things are going great. I know that there's got to be some people here. You've got to be somebody that can relate like Job. Something's been taken away from you. Maybe it has been a family member. Maybe it's been a friend. Maybe it's been something that's happening in your life that you're suffering, you're hurting, and you're going, God, why? We're going to talk about different reasons why you might be going through suffering. And there's different reasons why it could happen. This is very unique. But this could actually be happening too. What if it's because Satan went to God and said, and God said, hey, did you check out my kid PJ? Did you look, are you looking at him? Are you looking at my guy Mike? My how about that guy Matt, you know, or you know, Andrea, look at her, you know, and isn't she, look at how she just trusts me. What if Satan went to God and said, yeah, but the reason why they're doing that is because everything's working out in their life. You make everything go bad in their life, they'll curse you. What if that's actually happening? It happened once. Like, whoa, would you continue to, how in the world can you decide to say the same thing? Well, naked I came into the world, and naked I'm going to leave, and it's all God's anyway, and I'm going to worship him no matter what happens. I'm just going to do it. And I think that's because Job believed three things about God, just three things that if, guys, I'm going to tell you this, write this down. Write these three things down, because I'm convinced, if you're going, man, I don't know if I would trust God, would I have, do I have that kind of faith that I would trust him? If you believe these three things, I'm convinced anybody who believes these three things about God will be able to trust him no matter what. You really will be able to. So if you're struggling with your faith this week, think about these three truths about God. And these things are so just so true. One is this. Number one, God is in control. God is in control. If you want to put in parentheses, it's the characteristic of God that would be this. He's the one with all the power. So that's maybe in parentheses. God is in control, and if you want to put in parentheses, he's the one with all the power. Now, does that surprise any of us? These are three truths that I think if we think about, they're not going to be surprising. They're not going to be secrets. Doesn't it make sense that if he's God of the universe, he's the one that's ultimately in control? He's the one that's calling the shots at the very end. It all ends up back to him. It will end up back to him. He's the one with all the power. Anything else or anyone that has any power or any authority is because God has granted it to them. Even Satan. Did you notice that in here? Satan couldn't touch Job until who gave him permission? God. Job knew this. That's true, right up there. God. God. Job knew this. Job knew that God was the one in control. Ultimately. He's the one with all the power. Now, if I just know that truth, that actually is not something that would make me, maybe even make me trust God. Because if I just know he's the one with all the power, well, yeah, but then he can use his power to do whatever. And man, I don't know if I'll trust him. But it's three things together. But that's true. Number two, God knows what is best. God knows what is best. If you want to put in parentheses, this is the characteristic. He's the one with all the wisdom. God knows what is best. He's the one with all the wisdom. I know that Job also believed this because the rest of the book after this is really Job's friends. Job has three friends that come to him, and Job is asking, why is this happening? Because he doesn't know why. He's trusting God. He's saying, God is God, but I would just like to know why. Some of us might be doing that too. I'm going to trust God, but can I just know why this is happening? And so he asks his friends, and all three of his friends basically say the same thing. They believe there's only one reason why bad things happen to people, and that's because they've sinned. Now, could that be a reason? Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But we already know here that might not be the only reason. Somebody might not have done anything wrong at all, and bad things happen to them. That's what's happening to Job. We're just seeing it right here. So they're telling him, and while they're telling him, Job is replying to them, and he's telling him, look, I don't know of any sin that I've committed that I need this punishment. What have I done? What have I done? What have I done? And they just think that Job's arrogant and hiding his sin. Like, come on, Job, just admit it. You must have done something. But in the middle of this whole thing, Job is still questioning God. God, why are you, you know, why is it happening? And he even talks to God in the middle of it. But he's telling his friends here in verse 4 of chapter 9. I want to turn a couple pages. Chapter 9, verse 4, he says about God, he is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and succeeded. God is wise in heart. He's mighty in strength. I know he's got all the power, but I also know he has all the wisdom. And he's actually saying, now, I know he has all the wisdom, and in the middle of this, he's saying, I still would love to know why he's doing it, but I do know that he knows what's best. I know that he has all wisdom. He must have a reason for this, because he's the one who has all the wisdom and knows what's best. Guys, knowledge is knowing everything, and God has that. Wisdom, God also has wisdom. Wisdom is this: out of knowing everything there is, you also know which one of those things is the best. That's wisdom. And that's God. Job also knew one more thing if you turn to chapter 10. And it's verse 12. In the middle of this whole thing, Job still knows this. Even though he's not feeling it, even though he doesn't see it, even though he's not sure about it, he's confused about it, but he knows this truth. In chapter 10, verse 12, he says this: you, and he's talking to God, you have granted me life and steadfast love, and your care has preserved my spirit. In other words, the third truth is this: God loves me. I know that's true, even if I don't feel it. God loves me. And if you want to put in parentheses the characteristic, he's the one with all the love. He's the one with all the love. Were any of those three things a surprise to you about God? I mean, the whole God loves you, that's what you learn. If you were ever in church, you grew up in church, you learned that like when you're in preschool. You know, God loves you. God loves you. You know that. But there's times in life, you guys, where I actually question it. Well, does he? And I can see how Job would have questioned it here, right? Like, whoa, if he loved me, why would he do this? If he loved me, why would he allow this? If he loved me, why this? Why this? And he goes, you know what? I don't know why, but I do know the truth. I know that he loves me. And guys, I'm telling you, if you're a follower of Jesus, know this. He loves you. Even at times where everything around you is screaming that he doesn't, that's not the truth. He loved you enough to sacrifice his son for you. How could he not love you? He loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Those three things are true, even if our experiences are telling us something different. If you can remember those three things, guys, I'm serious, you will trust God through anything. But you have to remember all three of them, and you have to believe all three of them. I'm convinced of this too. If you're just missing one of these, you will not really be trusting God at all with anything. That's how drastic it is. By believing all three of these things, you'll trust him with anything. If you are missing just one of these things, I'm convinced you won't trust him really at all. Let me just go through it. I'm trying to think of like how you would trust God like with your life, because that's what you're doing. You're trusting God with your life for these three characteristics to kind of unfold. There was another camp that I was at. They had what was called, this camp has a low ropes course. They had what was called a high ropes course at this other camp. And they had a thing that was called the screamer on this high ropes course. And I know why it was called the screamer, because people screamed when they went on this thing. And what they did is they put you in this harness, and there was these three ropes that were connected to your harness and went up. If you were on this like platform that was like three stories up from the ground, like 30, 40 feet from the ground. And you would stand on this ledge, and they had a harness, and they had these three ropes that would go up even higher over this bar. And if you follow the ropes down, they would go down to the three stories that were down there, like 30 or 40 feet. And there would be a staff person that was down there holding those three ropes around another bar. And they would have these three ropes. And that staff person, this was the idea, that you would jump off of this ledge, and he would let go of the ropes, so you would fall, and at the last second, he would grab the right ropes at the right time, so that you would then stop falling and then just swing. You ever been on one of those rides in, you know, at amusement park where it's like the free fall? And some of us hate those rides, but some of us actually like them because it's like, whoa, it's everything like feels like, oh, wow, it's this incredible feeling, and it's like exciting and all this adrenaline, and then it stops. It was basically a version of that, but it was controlled by this person. And I felt like, you know what, jumping off this ledge, it really is a lot of times what God is asking us to do. Will you trust me? Will you trust me with your life? No matter what I end up deciding to do, will you trust me? And it really is, I'm putting my life in his hands. And this is like an example where I'm putting my life in this person's hands, just for that moment, right? Now, what if I just kind of adapt these three truths and kind of adapt it for that person? In other words, let's say I'm about to jump off the ledge and I think, okay, does he have power? Does he have knowledge? Does he have love? And I look down and I see this type of person and I go, hey, before I jump, I just want to know, do you have enough power to be able to stop? You know, are you strong enough to be able to stop this? Stop me from hitting it. Because if he's not strong enough, I don't want to jump. So he goes, yeah, there's people that have been heavier than you. I've done it before. It's great. Seriously, I can do this. And he looks pretty strong. Okay. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know which rope to pull at the exact right time? And you know what to do here, because you know that's important. He goes, oh yeah, I've done this forever. I've taken all the classes. I've done tons of people. I've done it so many times. I totally know what I'm doing. Okay, 2 out of 3. I'm about to jump, and then I recognize. I go, I've seen this guy before. Where have I seen him? And then I remember I was in the snack shop earlier in the day, and I bumped into this guy, the same guy. And I remember when I bumped into him, he goes, hey, you're P.J. Lewis, aren't you? And I go, yeah, I'm P.J. Lewis. And he goes, I hate your guts. If I ever could hurt you, I would. And he walks away. He's the guy. Do you think I'm jumping?
Yeah.
No. No. Like, seriously. No. Even though he has enough power to do what he needs to do, even though he knows what to do, does that mean he's going to do it? No, probably not. Oh, sorry, the rope slipped. Oh, whatever. You know, like, I'm not going to, he wants to hurt me. I'm not going to jump because even though I know he has the power and the knowledge, he does not have the love. I don't think he cares enough for me that I'm not going to jump. Do you know that's the same relationship that some of us have with God? Some of us, we know God's in control. We know he has all the power. We know he can do anything, and that's actually what's scary. We also know he knows everything, so he knows where we are. We can't hide from him. We can't do anything. Yet, like, that is it. He knows what we're doing, everything else, and he's got all this power, and we're convinced he does not care. We're convinced of it. And so we even have kind of a relationship with God, but it's not a loving, I'm following him relationship. It's more of like, I'm so scared of what he might do, I better obey him. Because I'm scared of what he might do if he ever, you know, decides to do something, because God could crush me at any moment, and I know that he will, and I know that's why all this stuff is happening in my life, because he hates me, he doesn't really care about me, and that's my relationship with God. It's not even a good relationship at all. That's not the relationship God even wants with any of us. I'm not trusting him, I'm fearful of him. Some of us have that relationship with God. What if I pick the wrong one, though? What if that's not the right one? Let's pick another one. Okay, first of all, I'm standing on the ledge. I look down to a different person. And my first question now is, hey, do you like me? do you like, oh, yeah, you're PJ. Yeah, I care so much for you, man. I would never try to hurt you. And I go, okay, great. And then I go, okay, do you have the power? Do you know what, you know, can you do this? Oh, yeah, I'm strong. He looks really strong, whatever else. And then I'm about to jump. And he's looking at the ropes going like this. Okay, what am I supposed to do with these ropes? Does he know what to do? He doesn't have the knowledge. Am I going to jump? No. I'm not going to trust him with my life. Even though, wow, he's got a lot of power. He can do whatever needs to be done. He has love. He cares about me. But he doesn't know what to do. And so I'm not going to jump. Do I have a relationship with him? I actually do. It's not a relationship where I trust him with my life, but it might be a relationship because I see he has a lot of power and he cares about me, that I let him know what he can do for me. But I got to let him know what he can do for me because he doesn't know. That's the same relationship that some of us have with God. We think that we know better about our lives than God does. God just doesn't know what's going on. He loves me. He's got a lot of power. And the reason why he's got a lot of power is I love that because I need all that power and I need his love for me. And then I need to tell him what he needs to do in my life. And if you're wondering if you have that kind of relationship with God, just think about all the times you pray. Are you constantly praying, telling God what he needs to do? Asking God what he needs to do for you. God, will you do this? God, will you do this? God, you know this? God, will you have this work out for you? God, will you do this? God, will you do this? And you're never talking to him about what you can do for him. It's just like he's a genie in the bottle. He's got all the power, and you're letting him know what he can do for your life. Who really knows what's best? He does. So how about we put us aside and say, God, what do you want me to even ask you for? What do you want to even do in my life? What do you want me to do for you? But some of us, we have that relationship. It's not a trusting relationship. You know what? It's not actually trusting God. It's asking God to trust us. But I won't jump. I won't trust him with my life. How about the third one? I get on the ledge. Do you care about me? Yep. I love you, PJ. Okay. Do you know what to do? Yes, I know what the ropes are. I know what to do. I know which ones to pull. I know all of that stuff. I go, finally. I'm about to jump. And when I'm about to jump, I look down and I notice he doesn't have any arms. Unless he's got really strong teeth, I'm probably not. You guys, he can't do what he knows should be done. And he loves me. He knows what should be done, but he doesn't have the power to do it. Am I jumping? No. Do I have a relationship with him? Yes. Lot of wisdom, lot of knowledge. Boy, he knows a lot. Loves me, but doesn't have the power. And that's the same relationship that some of us have with God. We're not really trusting him with our lives. Well, we do like to read God's word, and we like to read his Bible, and we like to read what he would have to say because he's really wise and he really knows what's going on in life. But when it comes to actually running my life and actually doing things in my life, I've got to do it. He's not my God. He's more of like my teacher and counselor, which he is. But he doesn't want to just be your teacher and counselor. He wants to own your life. And so we still walk around owning our own lives and just getting advice from him and applying it to our lives at times. But we really know deep down, we still have the control over our lives. But you guys, if I'm standing there and I go, hey, do you care about me? And he says, yeah. And I know he does. And he's strong enough to do what he needs to do. And he knows exactly what to do. This is incredible. Even though it's a scary jump, I'll jump. And for a lot of us, you guys, all we got to do is remember these three truths. And we will be like Job, because I'm convinced Job just knew these three things, even if he knew nothing else. He knew, God, you're in control. You know what's best in my life. And you love me. So if you ask me to jump off this ledge, even if it looks like it's scary, if something's happening in my life that I have no idea why it's happening, I do know this, that you're still in control. You still know what's best. And you love me, even if I don't have all the answers. I know you do. Do you see how it changes everything? How about this week we just ask ourselves, what's my faith look like in this God? Whether things are going well, maybe even more when things aren't going well. How in the world can I trust him? And it begins with knowing those three huge characteristics of God. His power, his wisdom, his love. You guys ready to talk about it in your So What groups? Okay, let me pray for us. God, thanks for our launch, God. We did a lot even tonight, you God. And I, man, just the week that you're going to give us, I think is going to be great, but for some of us, it's going to be a journey to go through. Why in the world do these bad things happen? And how in the world can I trust a God that allows these things to happen? And God, I pray that we would just remember those three things. If we don't know anything else, that we just remember, oh God, you are the one in control. Even Satan can't do anything without you allowing him. You're the one who knows what's best. You have all the wisdom. I don't see everything. We don't know everything. You do. You know even more than we do. So God, we trust you with all the wisdom you have. You must have a reason for this. And God, we know that it must be a good reason because we know also know that you love us. You don't hate us. You love us. So God, that we just remember those three things and pray through that every time we face something difficult. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.